Yes, tonight, start off just by saying my name's Brent Baker, pastor of Lighthouse Community Church in Gilman, Pennsylvania. Baptist pastor, if you want to know the story about Lighthouse Community, I'll share this. I'm a pastor of Gilman tonight. If you can't tell, I'm in shambles tonight. So I appreciate your prayers. Those men and women have been praying today, and even now, as we get into the Word of God, pray for me. Over the last month, in our church and in my own family, we've just been just racked with sickness. And it has taken its toll on my voice. And without the help of God, I'll never get through what I want to preach tonight. But our brother, Tim, had spoken about being a man of his word. And that's what I told my wife today, brother. I said, I've got to go. I've got to go. Because I've got to be a man of my word. God is the God of his word. I've got to be the man of my word. And if I could tell you tonight all the things that happened that made it almost seemingly impossible for me to get out here tonight, that'd be a whole nother sermon. But I'll tell you too, real quick, just before I walked out the door, my four-year-old son vomited all over the kitchen. And then as I walked out to get in my truck, it began to snow bad. So I've been real excited on the hour and a half trip up here to see what God's going to do. And my heart's already been stirred up and pricked, so thank you, brother, for that. And I'll tell you something right now, that singing you guys just did, that's my favorite hymn, and I haven't heard a song like that in a very long time. So if God will give me some grace tonight, I'll try to preach the best I can out of 2 Timothy here. I want you guys to pray for me, not only for my voice, but I don't even know if my tie's on straight. I haven't looked in the mirror since I did my hair this morning. I don't know what I look like right now. Everything's just been a mess today, but now we're here in the house of God, and we're going to get under God's word for a little while. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. I'm going to read just a couple of verses here. I'm going to ask God to bless our time together. 2 Timothy 4. If you're getting over there, I want you to go down to verse 16, okay? Again, please pray for me as I try to preach tonight. God's always been good. I won't make it through this without coughing. I hope none of you are offended by that. I won't make it through this without that, but I will try to make it through this. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. Can I take my coat off? Thank you. Thank you. Oh, we're good then. We are good then. 2 Timothy 4, let me read a couple of verses here, starting at verse 16, okay? Chapter 4, verse 16, Paul speaking to the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God speaking through Paul. And Paul says, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. That's it. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for tonight. Lord, I want to thank you for the preaching that's already been done. Lord, I want to thank you for the songs that have been sung. I want to thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be here tonight. Out of all the things that could go wrong and might have gone wrong, Lord, you've given us this opportunity. And so I'm thankful for that. Lord, and I pray that you'd hide me behind the cross tonight, that you'd give me the words to preach, Lord, that you'd give me grace and you'd give me strength. Lord, I pray that you'd prick each heart in here tonight. Let our hearts be that good ground of faith that your word can enter and grow and be fruitful. Lord, let us not walk out of here tonight without something from you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for loving us. And I pray tonight you help us to love you back. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Here in 2 Timothy, we find a truth that is expressed through the Apostle Paul by the Spirit that has been evident in the Apostle Paul's life since his conversion on the road to Damascus, but it's become especially important in his life later on in the circumstances that he's in 2 Timothy. The truth is deep and it is precious to every believer if we will believe it. Okay? It's precious to every single one of us who believe, if we will believe this truth. You say, preacher, what truth is that? The Lord Jesus is enough. Amen. That's the truth we're looking at. The Lord Jesus is enough. How many of you enjoy coming to church? You're here on a Thursday night. You must like it some. Right? You're here on a Thursday night. You must have some idea of what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. You must have some zeal about coming to church. How many of you can rejoice when you sing the hymns? I heard some rejoicing. Okay? Now, we just answered this. How many of you would say amen when the preacher's preaching, right? How many of you are saying, how many of you enjoy coming to church? Let me tell you something about coming to church, though. You can't live here. Your pastor's going, that's right. When the service is over, right out the door. You can't live here. You say, what do you mean by that, preacher? I mean, I love church, okay? When I got saved, I love my own church family. I were already loving you guys. I loved you guys last time I was able to be here. I love church. You know, after I got saved, it was 5 years after I got saved that the Lord brought me into church. I didn't have any idea what church could be. And after 5 years of being saved and studying the scripture on my own, he brought me into church and showed me what church is supposed to be. I love church. I love God's people. I think I probably told Pastor last time I was here, I don't think I'm ever going to be a pastor again. That was 3 years ago. Lo and behold, now I'm pastoring again. I just can't get away from it, brother. You know, I just love the church. I love the church of Jesus Christ. I love singing the songs of Zion with God's people. I love my brothers and sisters of Christ. But we don't live here. We can't live here. And every single one of us has to decide when we walk out those doors tonight, is Jesus still enough? That's what we have to decide. It's easy to say that here, isn't it? He's enough. Amen. When you walk out that door, is he still enough? That's what you have to decide. That's what I want to preach tonight. That's what God's put on my heart to preach tonight. And that's what we each of us have to decide. I want to challenge you there tonight. See, here Paul says, none stood with me. All forsook me. But then what? The Lord stood with me. Amen. Right? And strengthened me. Let me ask you a question. In 66 A.D., so to speak, or maybe a little bit here and there, 66 A.D., when Paul was preaching this, was Jesus enough? Yes, he was. Yes, he was. I want to share a difficult truth with you tonight. The pastor said I could get mean. I won't. I won't get mean. But I do want to share with you a difficult truth. Okay? Modern Christianity today, you all know about it. You've all seen it. Something we don't normally talk about, something we don't like to admit, but it's very important to be authentic here. The Christianity of today that you and I see and know and experience often subscribes to what I like to call a Jesus plus religion. You ever heard that before? Jesus plus religion. You say, what do you mean by that? I mean, modern Christianity, they know about Jesus. They know about Jesus, but they don't necessarily find him enough to, quote, make them happy. Okay? You say, well, I love Jesus, but if I'm going to be happy, I need a better job. Okay? I love Jesus, but if I'm going to be happy, well, I'm going to have a little more money than that. I love Jesus, but if I'm going to be happy, well, I need that nice car, or I need that new boat, or I need that nice house. Okay? Now, not everybody suffers from materialistic type of mindset either. You know, some people say things like this, well, I love Jesus, preacher, but if I'm going to be happy, he's got to give me that spouse. If I'm going to be happy, I need a good group of friends that can hold me up. If I'm going to be happy, I got to have those children. I got to have that security. Or like our brother said, I got to have that good health. Modern Christianity doesn't just subscribe to this thought in everyday life either. The concepts move right into the church. I love Jesus, but if I'm going to be happy serving him, if I'm going to be happy coming to church, the church has got to have an official counseling program. Yeah? I mean, I love Jesus, but if I'm going to be happy here, I mean, there's a specific format of Sunday service that I got to follow. I got to follow. I mean, I love Jesus, but if I'm going to be happy here, we got to have the right outreach programs, fellas. If I'm going to be happy here, we got to have the proper devotionals to go along with that preaching. Where's my pamphlet? Okay? The list goes on and on and on and on. It doesn't matter what's on the list. It's the mindset. It's the mindset that's crept into our Christianity. We think it's the truth that we need something else to be satisfied. But the truth is, the Lord Jesus Christ is enough. Amen. And he always has been. Amen. And he always has been. Now, Tim preached it, I preached it. Don't walk out of here saying, preacher told me not to go to the gym. Okay, I didn't say that. You want to go to the gym, go to the gym. Okay, preacher told me, don't walk out of here saying, well, the preacher told me I shouldn't read devotionals. You want to read devotionals, read devotionals. You want to have the right programs, have the right programs. You want to have a nice car, have a nice car. Okay? You want to make more money? Seek God about it. You want to have a good spouse? Pray to God about it. All right? I'm not saying these things aren't beneficial. I'm not saying these things aren't good for time. I'm not saying they don't have a purpose. Sometimes physical needs require very specific solutions. Sometimes emotional needs require very specific solutions. Sometimes mental needs, financial needs require very specific solutions. But all these solutions have a shelf life. They have a shelf life. They don't last. They don't provide what's needed for our souls. When it comes to health and the satisfaction of our souls, our worth, our contentment, our happiness, our purpose, our direction, what the soul really needs is a solid relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. That's what we're made for. And if you and I are interested in walking as the disciples of Jesus Christ, we need to realize the truth that our happiness and our contentment and our strength is not in some Jesus plus religion, but is in Jesus Himself. Amen. That's one. One more time. All pray for me. I got to force it out. Listen, God will use some of these other things in our life. Don't be surprised, though, when some of these things that we hold on to, we think are making us happy, He starts to pull away from us. He starts to pry away from us. It's not Jesus plus. It's Jesus. Right? This is the design of God to lead us along in His pathway to the centerpiece of our affection is Jesus Christ. Why does God do this? Because the Prince of Peace has no shelf life. He has no shelf life. He is, always was, and always will be that Prince of Peace that satisfies the soul. King of kings and Lord of lords. The problem is, in our culture today, many of you guys know this, we are bombarded with a litany of messages that tell us what we, quote, need to be happy. When's the last time you turned on the TV and somebody told you what you need to be happy? Or the radio, right? Or the Roku, or whatever. Is a litany of messages all the time that tell us what we need to be happy. The Apostle Paul said, same God here, through the same Spirit, in Philippians 3:7-8 says, but what things were gained to me? Those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Okay? When this truth is real in our lives, that Jesus is enough, it changes our lives. If you walk out that door tonight and you believe the truth that Jesus is enough, it's going to change how you pursue this life. It's going to change how you live this life. It's going to change what you do in this life. And I want to encourage you tonight to believe that truth. I'm not challenging you to be monks. Okay? I'm challenging you to walk out of here and believe the truth that Christ is enough. Amen. I'm challenging you to not take the easy road and just live in church and say, well, Christ is enough inside the church house, but say that He's enough outside this church house. Amen. I'm challenging you tonight, if you've been living this life in the deceit that something else is going to make you happy, or Jesus and something else is going to make you happy, to repent of that tonight. Amen. Come to the altar and say, God, forgive me. That's not the way it is. That is not what my soul needs. Come to the altar and let the Lord forgive you and show you that Christ is enough when you walk out these doors. Because He is enough. Spurgeon said, nothing teaches us about the preciousness of the Creator as much as when we learn the emptiness of everything else. Corrie ten Boom said it like this. She said, if you look at the world, you'll be distressed. I mean, you heard this. If you look within, you'll be depressed. If you look at God, you'll be at rest. Elizabeth Elliot said it like this, although I have not found intellectual satisfaction, I have found peace. Amen. The answer, I say to you, is not an explanation, but a person. Jesus Christ, my Lord and my God. That's how she said it. And every disciple along the path finds, who is diligently seeking God, finds this to be true, what the Apostle Paul has testified. None stood with me. God, don't lay it to their charge, because you stood with me. And that was enough. Amen. You might be saying tonight, preacher, that sounds really good, but you don't know what problems I'm facing. You might be saying, that's fine, preacher, but you don't know what I need right now. That's good, pastor, but you don't know the suffering I'm going through right here. Let me tell you the truth. This, what Paul is saying here, is not born out of good times. This is born out of bad times. It's born out of bad times. This reality of the sufficiency of Christ is not born in good times, it's born in bad times. If you're facing trouble in your life tonight, you are the prime candidate to find out that Jesus Christ is enough. Amen. And that's the truth. Amen. I want to give you some context. really quick. I just want to give you some context. I might have this a little mixed up. I'm struggling a little bit. You guys know that. I might have this a little mixed up. I want to give you some context real quick about Paul's life. Just so you know, this wasn't born in good times when Paul said this. This was born in bad times. Okay? So brace yourself. Difficult time in history between 63 and 66 AD while he was a prisoner in Rome. I'm not trying to shock you. I just want you to know where this is born. The emperor of Rome was Nero during those times. 64 AD was the great fire of Rome. How many of you know it's commonly reported that Nero blamed that fire on Christians? Which began the first real great organized persecution against the church. Does anybody know where many Christians died during that time? Yep, they died in the Colosseum of Rome. Here's what one well-known and well-accepted account says, quote, the condemned persons, now he's talking about Christians, the condemned persons sewn up in skins of wild beasts were thrust out into the arena to be torn by dogs. Others were crucified. Others again were clothed in tunics dipped in oil, pitch, or rosin, and then found themselves attached to stakes and reserved to illuminate the nocturnal festivities. When dusk came on, these living torches were set on fire. Good times or bad times? Bad times. But that's where this truth is born. This sufficiency of Christ. This is where Paul speaks it during those times. During those times. Paul found himself apparently making his own case. Nobody stood with him against the Roman government. But in verse 17, you look back with me at verse 17, he says again, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. I have that underlined in my Bible. The Lord stood with me. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. You know, it was also during Paul's imprisonment that he wrote this. I know both how to be abased and how to abound everywhere. And in all things, I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Amen? In the later days of the apostles' life, in Christian maturity and great understanding of faith under great persecution, greatest the church had seen at that time, all of Paul's so-called friends were gone, nowhere to be found, but he's confessing that the Lord Jesus Christ was enough. And that is where the Lord is taking all of his disciples. He isn't necessarily bringing us under Neronian persecution, praise God. But he's bringing us all there. He's bringing us all there. The satisfaction is not in some what, but in a who. And that who is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where he's bringing us. I want to exhort you tonight. And I want to encourage you. I don't want to discourage you. This truth is a lifelong lesson. As long as we're following Jesus, it's a lesson we're going to continue to learn in all the areas of our lives. I'm not asking you to have it all together. How many of you have it all together? I don't see a single hand. I didn't look over here yet. Nobody has it all together. I'm not asking you to have it all together. Okay? I'm not challenging you to have it all together. But I am challenging you to decide. Decide. When you walk out these doors, will you believe that he's enough? Will you believe that? I don't know what you're facing when you go home tonight. I don't know what you're facing, that phone call you get when you get in the car. I don't know what you. I don't know what's on your mind right now. Thinking about what's going to happen after this. I wish you'd stop preaching. Right? I don't know. I don't know what you got outside these doors, but I want you to decide whether or not you believe that he's enough. That's what I want you to decide. That's what I want to challenge you with tonight. I want to give you four quick examples tonight, and then I'll be done. If I can. Amen. If I can. You can count them on one hand, of course, four quick examples. You can refer to them biblically, and you will see that the Lord is enough. I'm going to ask you some questions that I want to ask you again at the end, and that's this. In the arena in which you find yourself today, do you believe that Jesus Christ is enough for you? Do you believe that this relationship that you have with God through his Son, Jesus Christ, is enough to carry you through to eternity? Do you believe that if you come and rest at the feet of Jesus, you're going to find rest for your soul? Or you're looking for something else to do that? I'm going to ask those questions again at the end. I want to give you four quick examples tonight that you can always turn to. If you've got a Bible, you can always turn to them. Okay? I won't read them tonight for the sake of time, but I'll show you where they are. And I'll tell you what's going on. First one's Luke 23, 39 to 43. First thing I want you to know tonight is this. The Lord Jesus Christ is enough when it comes to your salvation. Amen. He's enough when it comes to your salvation. Okay? That's the first thing I want you to know. In Luke 23, 39 to 43, we take a look at a criminal. We take a look at a criminal. Okay? We take a look at a man who was a thief. We take a look at a man who was sentenced for his crimes. We take a look at a man who was crucified, who was hanging upon a cross. We take a look at a man who was out of options. You guys know what I'm talking about? Looking at a man who was out of options, a man who had lost everything, except the only thing he had left to lose was his life. He left everything else. He lost everything else. And this man, when he had nothing left, he took a look at the Son of God hanging on the cross next to him, and he gave it a shot. He gave it a shot. Excuse me. I got nothing left to lose. My life is ending. You know what? Maybe this Jesus is enough. Maybe this Jesus is enough. He turned to another thief. What'd he say? He told him, quit. All right, quit. We belong here. We belong here. This man doesn't belong here. Okay? So he rebukes the other thief. And then what's he say to Jesus? Remember me. Remember me. Let me ask you a question. Was that enough? Did he find Jesus to be enough? Did he find Jesus to be enough when he said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom? Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. You know, when you're on the cross, you got to fight for breath, right? You're down, you can't breathe, you're up, then you breathe, you're down, you can't breathe, you're up. It's a crucifixion for a reason, it's torture for a reason. He had to push himself up and say, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Christ sounded like I sound right now. Was that enough? It was enough. Because what did Jesus say? You'll be with me in paradise, right? Guess what he found? Jesus was enough. Jesus was enough. And I want you to turn back here anytime you don't think that Jesus is enough for your salvation. Anytime you're doubting your salvation, anytime you think that he's not enough, I want you to turn back here and remember that he's enough to get you into heaven, to be forgiven, to be justified, to be reconciled to God, to be redeemed off the slave block of sin. Jesus is enough for you to be saved. Come right back to Luke 23. You remember, Jesus is enough. Let me tell you something about this man on the cross. He had no suit and tie. He had no suit and tie. Okay? He had no good works to commend him to God. He had no reputation to get him an audience in heaven. Man couldn't promise to do better with his life. He couldn't promise to do better. He couldn't walk away and serve God. He had no fruits to offer. He had nothing to give. He couldn't do anything except put his trust in Jesus. And guess what? That was enough. Amen. That was enough. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Are you saved today? Amen. There's somebody in here tonight that's not saved? Let me tell you something. Jesus is enough. What he did on that cross is enough. He said, it is finished. It's enough. It's paid. Are you saved? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10:13. Are you saved? Listen, if you're not saved tonight, I'm going to challenge you to decide. You need to decide. You heard our brother preach earlier. You heard pastor talk about it. You've heard everybody talk about it. We challenge you to decide. Will you be saved tonight? Because Jesus is enough. Now I go on and on, but this is supposed to be quick. So number two. I want you to know Jesus is enough for your sin, believer. Believer, he's enough for your sin. Amen. How many of you, since you got saved, have lived perfectly? Come on, put that hand down. I want to take you to Luke 22, 31 to 34. Now you can go there if you'd like, but I'm just going to tell you what happened for the sake of time. Luke 22, 31 to 34. We run into the Apostle Peter. And Jesus tells Peter that Satan desires to have him. You remember that? That Satan desires to have him. And Peter is going to deny Jesus. But that Jesus has prayed for Peter. And we all know what happened, right? Jesus was arrested and Peter failed miserably. Now I want to talk about some great sin. Because Peter's sin was great sin. He actually denied even knowing Jesus. You guys ever done that? Maybe not in word, maybe in action, right? But he denied Jesus. You ever messed up real bad? As a Christian. You ever messed up real bad? I got plenty of mess up at BC, right? But I got some mess ups after being a Christian too. You got any mess ups after being a Christian? Okay? You ever sinned some great sin? You ever found yourself in shame? It's doing something you haven't done. I preach, just so you guys know, I preach at a recovery center twice a week. And often I'll preach about the prodigal son and I'll say, you ever been at a point in your life where you find yourself doing something you never thought you'd be doing in a place you never thought you'd be? And they all go, yep, that's right, preacher. That's right. Hog pen, by the way. You ever messed up real bad? You ever find yourself in the hog pen? You ever wept bitterly like Peter did after denying Jesus? He wept bitterly, but that didn't change the fact that he committed a great sin, did it? Peter spent time with other disciples after that behind closed doors, but that didn't help his heart. Peter even went back to fishing. Did he find any real satisfaction in fishing? No. It wasn't until Jesus met him on that shore. They sat around that fire. All right? He said, Peter, eat with me. Do you love me more than these? You guys remember that? It was around that campfire that his heart began to beat again with forgiveness, restoration, purpose. One interaction with the resurrected Christ, and Peter could testify. He's enough. You know how I know that Jesus was enough for Peter after he sinned greatly? Because Peter gave up being a fisherman. He's no longer a denier of Christ. No longer living in shame. No longer living in sin. Peter effectively became the leader of the apostles. First pastor of the Church of Jesus Christ. First preacher of the New Testament. Demonstrator of the Holy Ghost. Okay. Passionate follower of Jesus Christ. Was Jesus' prayer... Remember, Jesus said, I pray for you. Was Jesus' prayer enough? Was it? It was. If we confess our sins, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 2:1, my little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. You believe that? Amen. You think he's enough? Is he enough? Amen. When he stands before God, is he enough? Do you believe today that if you've messed up real bad, you can come with a repentant heart, you can come, and what Jesus Christ will do standing before the Father is going to be enough to forgive you of that sin. You believe that? Yeah. Because God is faithful to what Jesus has done. He is. He's faithful to what his son has done. And that's what he brings up. So when your sins come up to heaven, they come up by your confession, they go straight to your lawyer before they go to your judge. They go straight to the King of Kings before they go to the throne in heaven. They go straight to the advocate before they get before the Father. It goes to Jesus first. And Jesus points the Father back to what he has done. Paid in full. My blood is still enough. It's still enough for him. It's still enough for her. They have confessed. They are forgiven. They are clean. The Victorious Valley Girl said it like this. I know you know this. In the courtroom sits God Almighty as a judge upon his throne. You didn't think I was going to sing, did you? I'm not going to sing. Holiness is all around him as he judges sin and wrong. Satan is that old accuser as he stands before the king with his list of accusations. All my sin he tries to bring. As he points accusing fingers to where I stand before the throne, then a voice behind me whispers, child, I'm here. You're not alone. That's my Savior, my interceder, and he's standing in my place. And as he stands before the Father, he speaks one word, and it is grace. He said, that's my child. He is forgiven. See my hands, my side, my feet. With my blood, I bought his pardon. That's my child. And he is free. Jesus is enough. If you've sinned, if you've messed up bad, if you've got sin and shame tonight, he's still enough. Amen. Number three, the Lord is enough for your circumstances, friend. Amen. He's enough for your salvation. He's enough for your sin. He's enough for your circumstances. Acts 12:1-16. This is a portion of scripture where Herod, the king, decides to beat up on Christians a little bit. He decides that he's going to take James, the brother of John, put him to death. And when he sees that that pleases everybody, guess who else he arrests? Peter. He said, I'm going to take Peter and I'm going to put him in there with a bunch of guards. What does the church do? They pray. They pray. I've heard you guys pray tonight. You think that Jesus is enough for your circumstances? Do you think he's enough when you pray? When you ask in his name, do you think that's enough? You think it's enough? They've been instructed to pray in the name of Jesus. They trusted in the name of Jesus. They begin to pray. You know what they found? They found that Jesus was enough. I love this portion of scripture because, you know, I don't know how many of you guys in here are like Peter. But I'm a little bit like Peter. And I need God to kind of be a little bit rough with me at times. And if Peter's asleep in the middle of the prison and they're all praying and an angel walks in, what's the angel do? Hey, get up, Peter. Let's go, right? He's sleeping between two soldiers in chains with the door locked, but God. In our church in Gelton, but God, some of our favorite words. Amen. This last year has been so tough on the church in Gelton that all we could do was thank God. All we could do was just thank him for bringing us through. Every situation seemed to fall apart one way or another, but God came through in every circumstance. And you know, when the angel smote Peter, Peter got up. What happened to those chains? How many of you got chains that need to come off? Do you think Jesus is enough? Do you think he's enough to break those chains off? When Peter got up, his chains fell off. He said, get dressed, follow me. Peter got dressed, followed the angel. All the doors opened one by one. How many of you got doors that need to open? Think Jesus is enough? Okay. Through the prison, into the street, back into the city. The angel departed and Peter's going, what just happened? Thought it was a dream. Guess what they found out? Guess what the church found out on that night? Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right. God answers prayer. He's enough. He's enough. It doesn't matter what the circumstance is. He is enough. Now the fourth and last thing I want to show you tonight is the Lord is enough in your suffering. How many of you have suffered? He's enough. In all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. The feelings of our infirmities, as our brother said. He's enough in your suffering. Acts 16, Paul and Silas find themselves in prison. You guys know the story? They find themselves in prison. They were doing right. They were serving God, but still they suffered. They were taken, stripped, beaten, imprisoned. They were left with stocks. Feet in stocks, and Paul, throughout his life, became very acquainted with suffering, faced a lot of persecution, ridicule, betrayal, heartbreak, and even at Philippi, he was ill-treated. But in the middle of his suffering, what did Paul and Silas decide they were going to do? They prayed, and they sang. And what did they find? What did they find out? He's enough. Right in the middle of their suffering, they found out he was still enough. Yeah, he knew he was enough on Damascus Road. He found out he was enough in that prison. He found out he was enough in that suffering. And he's still enough. What do you think they sang? Man, I don't know, but it was about Jesus. I'll tell you that much. I don't know what it was, but it was about Jesus. The ground began to shake and the chains came off and the doors opened. And you know, it wasn't just enough for them. It wasn't just enough in their suffering. It was enough for that guard and his whole family. It was enough for that guard and his whole family. What must I do to be saved? Let me tell you what you got to do to be saved, brother. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. Okay? He's enough. That old jailer, he washed their stripes. He took care of them. Do you believe that Jesus is enough in your suffering? You think so? I can tell you of brokenness that seemed beyond repair, heartbreak that seemed impossible, and yet the Lord still healed hearts, this heart, my heart. And he's enough for your suffering too. If you ever doubt that, you come right back here. The world tries to tell you all that you need to be satisfied. Christian, the world tries to tell you, and many of the modern churches today try to tell you, you need Jesus plus something to be satisfied, but that is not the truth. Paul said, none stood with me but the Lord. The Lord stood with me and strengthened me. He is enough. He is enough. Time would fail me tonight to tell you how Noah found the Lord to be enough in the flood, or how Abraham found him to be enough as his reward, or how Lot found him to be enough as his deliverance, or Jacob as his God, or Joseph as his sufficiency, or Moses as his defender, Joshua as his leader, or Rahab as her savior, or David as his mercy, or Solomon as his wisdom, or Elijah as his power, or Ruth as her provider. Time would fail me to tell you how Ezra found him to be enough as his waymaker, and Hezekiah as his rescuer, as Gideon as his courage, and Hannah as her answer, as Daniel as his protector, and Bartimaeus as his healer, Mary Magdalene as her redeemer, or Lazarus as his revival, John as his revelation, the countless missionaries on foreign fields, survivors of tragedy, trust in him, or the many other ways that I myself or others in this room have found him to be unequivocally enough. Do you think that Jesus is enough?
Amen.
One thing I do have time to tell you is that he is enough. So tonight, further down we go this road, the more we will come to know this. So let me ask you these questions again. In this arena of life that you find yourself in, whatever it is when you walk out these doors, in this arena of life that you find yourself in, do you believe that Christ is going to be enough? Will you believe that? Do you believe that this relationship that you have with God through Jesus Christ is enough to satisfy your soul? Do you believe that if you come to the feet of Jesus, you will find rest for your weary soul, or are you waiting for something else to do that? Tonight, I want to challenge you not to bank or wait or hope on something else. I want to challenge you to make a decision tonight to believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is enough when you walk out these doors. I know he's enough in here. I heard you say. But is he enough when you open that door? I want to challenge you tonight to decide that he's enough when you walk out that door. Amen? That's it. Pastor? Amen.
Is Jesus enough? Now you might just hear that question asked again. And if you do, and you were here tonight, you'll know what all lies behind it. Amen. Page 249. Is Jesus enough? Precious Lord, take my hand. Lead me on. Help me stand. He's enough to do that. Huh? Whatever you're facing. All 4 points covered the whole of what's important in life. Wow. Stand up. We're going to sing at the close. Precious Lord, take my hand. Precious Lord, take my hand. Lead me on, let me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am worn. Through the storm, sing that again. But let me ask you this. What's your problem? What are you having difficulty with? What are you struggling about? Finances? thought control. I can't be the only one here tonight that's got a problem. Is Jesus enough?
Amen.
Is he enough for your problem? Okay, now listen. If he's enough for your problem, are you going to let him have the problem?
Amen.
Are you going to trust Jesus to take care of that problem? Because that's where the rubber meets the road. You can say the right answer. But if you don't live the right answer, the answer isn't going to benefit you one bit.
That's right.
Huh? Now, am I telling it true?
Yes, sir.
Obviously, what we want to do is have you put it on Jesus. That's what we pray for. You know, it isn't just during these meetings that Pastor and others and I pray. We pray for you